Let's not waste any more time. We've got our first guest on the line right now. It is Gary Hayden of the Saskatoon Blades, the pride of Airdrie, Alberta. Gary, where do we find you today? It's been a long time, pal.
Yeah, it's been a long time, Gino. It's good to talk to you. And yeah, I'm just on lunch break here at work. So yeah, you know, just enjoying my summer job.
So again, it's not all fun times on the boat for junior hockey players. You got to make some money at the same time. What are you doing for summer work right now?
I'm just an electrician here in Calgary, you know, just do some residential stuff and some houses. And yeah, you know, it's good life stuff too. You know, I've wired some lights in my parents' basement since I've done it. So yeah, it's been really good.
So it's, and I'm going to kind of, before we even talk about your hockey career, you go from Uncle Gary. I'm thinking you might have a different nickname down the road, the electrician, depending on how this hockey career goes, or I don't know what it would be.
Yeah, I've had quite a few nicknames this year. The Uncle Gary one, obviously, which was really popular in Saskatoon. And it was a lot of fun to be a part of. You know, we got shirts made, and we got about, my mom put in an order for about 80, 85 t-shirts for the town of Airdrie. So it was a lot of fun.
Absolutely. And so again, how did the origin of the Uncle Gary nickname come in? And it really, I think from that point on, when you were called Uncle Gary, you just rattled off 62 points in 55 WHL games before heading into the playoffs.
Yeah, you know, we have a Christmas function every year with the Booster Club, and it kind of turns into a fun event, and each player gets called up one by one, and you sit on Santa's lap, and then Tyler Warwick, who's our public, like, of media relations, he, you know, had a little fun with all the guys, makes a little joke about them, and I was fairly new to the team still, being traded there in October, so didn't have much on me, so he said that the only person he knew named Gary was born after 1950, and it was his uncle. And then it seemed right after that game, I had a pretty good game against Edmonton, notched 4 goals, and then it kind of just stuck ever since.
Absolutely. And now with your WHL career, you're going in as a 20-year-old, but your 19-year-old season definitely caught the eyes of many after being traded from Medicine Hat. Change of scenery does good, as we've kind of mentioned that this week with numerous deals in the NHL. This isn't a one-and-done situation, but you moved to Saskatoon, and it is a, you know, a 62-point season for yourself and just a real turnaround in what was starting on your career. How did things go there?
Yeah, you know, obviously, like, leaving Medicine Hat wasn't the most ideal situation. And, yeah, like, I think, like you alluded to, like, you look in the NHL, too, stuff like this happens all the time where, you know, guys just need to change the scenery. And, yeah, like, I can't thank the Saskatoon Blades enough for really just taking me in and giving me just a fair opportunity to compete for an everyday spot. And, yeah, I was lucky enough to play with some really good players, and, you know, kind of one thing just led to the next. And going into the year, I wanted to have a big year, you know, because you can only have 3 20-year-olds on each roster. So I wanted to, you know, have kind of a breakout year and show teams that I think I belong in this league as a 20-year-old. And I think I made my case to do that. So I'm looking forward to hopefully putting together back-to-back big years.
And Saskatoon's kind of an interesting story. It was kind of like the Vancouver Giants, in a sense that maybe they were 1 year ahead of schedule of being a competitor in the Western Hockey League. You guys not only turned things around in your season, and we've got a stack roster to even talk about as we get further into this conversation, but just really, like, what changed in Saskatoon and why you guys were so successful and not even getting to the playoffs, but winning a round against Moose Jaw before giving the Prince Albert Raiders all they could handle in the semis?
Yeah, I think, you know, it just starts at the top. Colin Priestner made some really good moves, brought in some really good players, and then he hired a great head coach, you know, Mitch Love, who's probably been one of my favorite coaches I've ever played for. He calls it how he sees it. He's really real with the players, and he also played in the Western League, right? So he knows what it's like to be in the league and how it's a grind, how you play 3 and 4 nights and all this, and with all the travel and everything. So I think he really connects with the players really well, and with both of our assistant coaches, Ryan Marsh and Ryan Keller, they really know their stuff too. And I think they just created a really, you know, really supportive atmosphere at the rink. And again, yeah, you have to have good guys, obviously. And when you have Kirby Dock, it obviously helps. And just his day-to-day compete day in and day out just brought up our whole team compete. And especially in the playoffs, he turned it on and became a whole new player.
Well, and that you led into my next question. I got to interview Kirby Dock about, well, geez, almost a month ago now. It's been so long. He ends up being a third overall pick in the draft, and he's signed by Chicago. What kind of a player and person is Kirby to your team?
Yeah, you know, he's obviously means a lot to our team. You know, he especially, I think, for even my personal success, you know, with Kirby playing, obviously, first-line minutes, he really draws a lot of attention from all the teams, right? Everyone's focused about him, and me and my line, we kind of just focus on doing us, and that's what, so I can thank him for that. And yeah, you know, just day in and day out, he just, his work ethic is incredible for, you know, obviously the talent he has and just his compete and will to win. Like, we play small area games probably every day in practice. And if that, you know, he wants to win, he wants to win whatever it takes. And yeah, he's going to be a really good NHL player, and he'll have a long NHL career just because of his will to win and his will to get better every day. And even in his preparation, like before games, like that guy, he takes it. He's the real deal.
Expectations for yourself, Gary, just for the upcoming season. Last year, a defenseman led the team in scoring in Dawson Davidson, 20-year-old. He ages out and graduates for the Blades, and same with Max Gerlach, who's now going to be playing pro overseas. With the roster that you guys have right now with Eric Florchek, Chase Wooters, and Kyle Krinkovic, another really strong prospect for the Blades, what's kind of the expectations for this team this year? It looks like pretty much the SAS division, the Central, is wide open right now for the taking.
Yeah, you know, I think we still kind of have that bitter taste in our mouth about, you know, losing out to PA. You know, we think we gave them a run for their money, and you know, maybe if a couple of games go a little different, we're in the Eastern Conference Finals, and who knows? But that's all, you could always say what if. So I think we're going to come back really motivated this year to have a deep run. And yeah, for myself personally, I think it's just, first of all, just not looking too far. We still have 4 20-year-olds and only 3 spots. So for me, I'm focused on just making the team, going to camp, being a dominant player, just basically making them say that they have to take me and they can't do anything else with me. And yeah, you know, you look at guys like Krankovic, you know, he had a really good year last year. He really impressed me as a 16-year-old. He got one of the fastest releases I've ever seen on a young kid. And like you said, Eric Florchek, one of the fastest skaters I've ever seen, draft pick of Washington. And Chase Waters, our captain, probably the hardest working player I've ever played with. And yeah, I'm really looking forward to get back to Saskatoon.
High praise for his teammates. We're on the line with Gary Hayden of the Saskatoon Blades, Airdrie native, of course, and you kind of mentioned it, 4 only and 3 20-year-olds are allowed on a WHL roster, which means there's going to be some tough decisions made as a 99. What's kind of the mindset when you're going into this season and training this year, besides also yourself to, like, wiring houses at the same time? This is a pretty big deal and a big year for yourself coming up.
Yeah, you know, I think I'm just, you know, like I said kind of before, just not trying to, like, overlook things, you know, just taking it one day at a time, not count the days, make the days count kind of thing, and just make sure I'm putting in the work, because, you know, like, if you put in the work, you get rewarded eventually, and just every day in the gym, making sure I do everything I can, and on my ice times, you know, just not taking one rep off, and just trying to be dialed in as much as I can, and I think if I do all those things, I should be good.
And kind of with the way the league's kind of set up here, you've seen the last 2 years a Saskatchewan team in the Western League come away with the WHL crown, first with Swift Current 2 years ago and last year with Prince Albert. What the fan support in Saskatoon, it's, of course, talking in the Canadian city, this may not mean a whole lot to others, but in Saskatchewan, hockey's on a different planet sometimes. And Saskatoon for years had all those great teams that, you know, they traded at the deadlines for years, and they have the famous Cody Eakin trade where they traded a team for one player, and then slowly, and they struggled and fans weren't coming out here. But how's the response now with this Blades team after a great turnaround?
Yeah, you know, I got there in October, and when I kind of got there, they were kind of still kind of, you know, on the fence, like, oh, are the Blades for real kind of thing. And then once, like, Christmas time hit, and, you know, we made the CHL top 10 a few weeks, honorable mention a few weeks, you know, we went on a 8-game winning streak here and there. And, yeah, the fans really got on board, and it was awesome to be a part of, you know, like, our playoff series against PA, we had 12,000, 13,000 at the games, and it's just an electric atmosphere. It's a great rink to play in, too, and especially in that Saskatchewan division, you know, you play in PA, it only seats 3,000 probably is the cap capacity, but there's 36 that sneak in there, and it's just an absolute rocking atmosphere the whole night. So it's a really fun division to play in for sure.
I want to go back to that playoff series. They are the eventual champions of the Western League. The Raiders, you guys go down 2-0 going back home to Saskatoon, and you rattle off a shutout 1-0 victory in Game 3, and then take it 2-0 again. Just kind of that 6-game series, it really built a lot. I would think it built a ton of character going into this year for you guys.
Yeah, for sure, right? Like, we easily could have folded over. You know, these guys have been the ranked number 1, number 2 in the CHL for almost the whole year. You know, we had our struggles with them during the year, you know, because they're a good team. Like, you look at their top 3 centermen, they're all 20-year-olds, led by Noah Gregor, who I think, could have been easily playing in the American Hockey League this year. He's a great player. And, yeah, so we kind of struggled in the regular season with them, but we beat them once. So we knew we could beat them at Sask-Tel. That was the big thing. And, yeah, coming back, we just thought, you know, we're not going down without a fight. And then we scraped the 1-0 shutout away. And then, yeah, it was just kind of that mindset of the next game's the biggest game of the year, and we got that one. And then eventually, you know, PA won the next two. But I was really proud of our group. You know, we didn't give in to anything, and we really gave them a fight for their money. And I think after game four, they were – We had planted a little bit of doubt in their mind. They weren't too confident. Like, they were confident, but I don't think they had thought they had wrapped it up like they had thought before. So, and yeah, you know, even for myself personally, like, that was kind of the first real playoff series that I had been fully a part of. And, you know, just seeing the grind of even just playing Moose Jaw for four games, even though we swept Moose Jaw, that was one of the closest series I've been a part of. We swept them, but we won two games in overtime. The other two games were one-goal games. So really any of those games could go either way.
Obviously, expectations are high for the Blades this year coming out of the Eastern Conference. But what kind of looking into the Gary Hayden crystal ball, anybody does this at any given day, what do you kind of see as the forecast in the WHL this year? What kind of teams stick out that could be a contender for a title again?
For sure, in our conference, the Calgary Hitmen have probably on my list is number one right now. You know, they had a really strong year, and if they get, you know, Mark Kastlik back, who's a draft pick of Ottawa, and they get James Malm, like, they all have a good 20 switch situation, and they have a good supporting cast of Carson Folk and all those. Like, they're going to be a good team to beat, hard team to beat. And Edmonton, too. You know, Edmonton made it to the conference finals. They'll lose a few guys to pro. And Trey Fix-Wolanski will go play in the American Hockey League in Columbus's system, but they're still going to be a strong team. The Central Division is going to be tough. You know, Medicine Hat's always good, and especially they got Willie there now, so they'll be looking to, you know, and Red Deer, too. Red Deer's always compete, and they always work really hard, so. Yeah, those Central road trips won't be fun. And out west, you know, Vancouver, it all went to Game 7 of overtime, so you can never really count them out. They got the experience coming back and lots of guys returning. And, you know, with Kelowna hosting Memorial Cup, you can never really count them out either, because they've made a few big trades at the Bantam draft, and I don't think they're done quite yet. So,
quite the forecast for our guest on the guest hotline, Gary Hayden of the Sask 2 Blades. A couple more for you here before we let you go and get back to work wiring a house, I believe, today, Gary. Is just goals, expectations for yourself as a 20-year-old. You know, it's not the end of the world when you're not selected as an 18-year-old in the draft, but obviously your stock grew last year, and now it's kind of that next step. More leadership's kind of brought on you as a 20-year-old. What's kind of the sort of the future goals for yourself?
Yeah, you know, I want to for sure take on more of a leadership role this year as a 20-year-old. As you know, I've seen the league for 4 years now, and I can think I can bring my wealth of experience to the young guys and help them get through the tough times. And then, yeah, just have a really good, hopefully productive year offensively, can hopefully do what I did last year, maybe more, which would be nice. And obviously, at the end of the day, to play pro hockey next year is the goal, the end goal in mind. So if that's in North America or in Europe, I'm open to any options. I just want to have a really good year and put myself in the best possible position.
Last one for you. Thoughts on the Milan Lucic and James Neal trade in Calgary? I can't remember if you were a diehard Flames fan or not growing up here, but again, a up the road trade between two rivals. You know, what's kind of the buzz and at that side of the things when you're a junior?
Yeah, you know, I am a diehard Flames fan. Grew up in just outside of Calgary my whole life, but yeah, I don't know. It kind of caught me off guard for sure, but I think it's kind of what the Flames need, you know. With Lucic, he's won, like people have said, he's won championships in Boston and in Vancouver, and he brings that tough game, you know, where even in our league, I think, like, even though fighting's still, you know, kind of leaving, but even if you have that one guy, you know, that'll keep everyone honest, I think, you know, and people won't maybe take as many liberties with Johnny anymore, and that's kind of what we need, especially in the playoffs. And, you know, if he scores 15, 20 goals, it looks like a genius deal, so hopefully it all works out.
Gary, I'll let you be there. Don't electrocute yourself. We want you to see you in a 20-year-old jersey in Saskatoon this year, and it's a pleasure to have you on the line here today. Have a good one, sir, and best of luck the rest of the offseason into the season with the Blades.
Thanks, Gino. Thanks for having me.